Our text lesson is 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. I'm going to read down to verse 12. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." And that's where I'm going to stop reading this morning. Look at verse 8. This is a verse that at least the last part of it we think about, we hear quoted. It says, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." And that's what I want to share this morning, that God is love. And as we get into what that means, I may want to just take a step back today and say this is very good news. Today's message is good news for us as people. The word gospel means the good news. And as I think about preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, we might say, what is the good news? What is it that is something that I can hear and say, that's good news? Well, today it's good news that God is love. God could be anything he chose to be. And sometimes we have different views about God that aren't in line with Scripture. We might think that God is against us. I think that probably there's people even in this room this morning that you think God is against you, that he's not dealt you a fair shake. Or maybe you think that God is law, he's rules, and certainly he gave us his law, he gave us his rules. But John, when he's describing God, he says that God is love. He didn't say he's loving. He didn't say that he does good things, loving things. He identifies God by saying God is love. Now, he didn't say love is God. Don't get that mistaken. But he said that God is love. And several times in the Bible, and especially in John's writing, he'll say God is something. One time John said in the Gospel, I believe, of John, he said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Isn't that wonderful? God is light. So God is not hedging himself in and saying that he's only love, but he is saying that he is love. It's love, and not just that he is sometimes benevolent, but that everything he does is done in benevolence. Now, this word love that we're reading here is the word agape. And the word agape is used throughout the Bible to describe God's love. And it means a selfless benevolence. Meaning that when we talk about agape, it's doing what's best for someone else without any regard to being paid back, but just being good to someone, and maybe inabundantly so, being good to someone, not expecting something in return, but just looking upon someone, wanting their welfare, and doing good toward them, that's what God's love looks like. And be clear that John doesn't say that sometimes God does these things that are acts of benevolence. No, he says he is benevolence. And that every act that he does is done in love for the welfare of all those involved, and that God abundantly pours out goodness upon a people, not expecting or needing anything in return for that goodness. Something you should know about God is that God is kind. Even though God is exacting, and that God has a way that's right and pure that he's described to us in his law, yet God is identified as being kind. And that God cares. God is compassionate. And he sees the things in your life, and his desire is not to hurt you, but for your good. And I'm going to get into some difficult things here as we read through this passage, but you should know that as we do this, that first and foremost, that God is good, God is always good, and that God looks out for your welfare at all times. Amen. Now, sometimes what we think is our welfare and what God knows is our welfare is not the same thing. And sometimes when God either acts or allows things to happen, we accuse him of being malicious or mean or hurtful. And God, listen to me, God is never that way. Never that way. Even when the act itself seems hard or harsh, yet we know something about God, that he is love, and that he is good, and that he is kind. I'm reminded of whenever Moses was in the mount with God, and Moses cried out to God and said, "Show me your glory." And God, you know, showed him. He hid him in the cleft of the rock, and he passed by him, and he allowed him to see the tail end of his being, just a glimpse of it, and just a glimpse at the view of God made Moses' face shine, so much so that people couldn't look upon Moses. But whenever God revealed himself to Moses, this is something that he revealed. First and foremost, that God is merciful. Of all the things that Moses learned about God in the mount where he was receiving the law, the thing that he most understood was that God was merciful and compassionate to generation after generation. And so we know this about God. And given the fact that we have done wrong in our life, and every one of us know that. I don't need to convince you that you've not been perfect. You know that you haven't. It is good news to know that God looks upon us with love. Amen. And that he's compassionate. And even today, if you feel like your relationship with God is severed, and we say we call this being lost or being in your sins, that's something that's common to all of us, that we're either, we're in our sins. If you find yourself in your sins or it disobedient to God and you feel like the relationship with God is broken, it is good news to know that God loves you, that he wants to forgive you, that he wants to save you even today. Now, I want to be clear about this. God is loving to all. To all men, to all people. He's not just loving to a select portion of people. God is love to all people. And that means you. That means me. Praise God. Because if God wasn't love, then I promise you I never would have found Him. I didn't have enough wisdom. I didn't have enough understanding. I didn't have enough goodness. But I found out by experience whenever I was a boy that God is love toward me. And this fact I praise God for every day, that God loves me. And I learned that by an experience with Him. And I want to talk about that today. I learned that God is love not by reading the words on the page. This affirms something that I know by experience in my life. But I learned by coming into contact with Him when He could have poured out His wrath. He instead poured out His grace. And I learned that God is love. What a wonderful blessing that is. And what good news it is today that God is love. And that's, you know, John, he says in this 8th verse, he said, "He that does not love does not know God." And that's something for us to consider. Amen. If you don't have love in your heart for your fellow man, if you don't have love in your heart for God, then you don't know Him. That's quite a statement, isn't it? If you don't know, if you don't love, if you don't selflessly care for others or for God, and we're not born to love, we're born as sinners, and many times we're born to fight. We're born to look after self-interest. And that's how we live in this life until we come to know God. And so John makes it real clear, and he says, if you don't love God, if you don't love your fellow man, and that's not about just having a good warm feeling in your heart. We'll talk about that today too. If you don't love, you don't know God. Because God is love. And if you don't have love for God and for others, you don't know Him. This is one of those check your heart moments, where it's good for us as people to check our heart. Do we know what it is to truly and genuinely love? Do we know what it is to love God? You might say, well, I do. I come to church on Sunday. I try to obey the commandments. That's not what I said. Do you love God? Do you care for Him? Do you want His glory? Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Do you love your children? And I'm not talking about with a superficial love, but where you would give up yourself for them. Do you love them? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your friends? You see, this love, he said, if you don't love, you don't know God, because that is what God is. He is love. And that's a check your heart moment. But let's talk about God's love this morning. Ask that you'd pray for me. First thing is, God's love is demonstrated best in Jesus Christ and in His atoning death. There's no greater love that's been shown in all the world than what God did on the cross through Christ Jesus. Now, I just lost some of you. Because some of you say, well, I was good when you were talking about love, but now that you're talking about that cross business and Jesus dying and Him shedding His blood, I don't want to go there. Well, listen to what John says. He said, that's where love is demonstrated. That's where we learn about what God's love is like. And I want to read that. It says, in this was manifested, verse 9. The word manifested means made known. In other words, this is how we understand the love of God toward us. This is how it's been revealed to us. This is how it's been made known to us that God is love. How? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love was demonstrated in Him sending His only begotten Son.
John chapter 3, verse 16 is oftentimes a child's first memory verse and one very important verse in the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We learn about the love of God by seeing what God did through His Son Jesus. God loved the world so much that He did what? God loved the world so much that He gave. He gave the thing that was most important to Him, the thing that He valued the most. God gave that to us when He gave His only begotten Son. Do you see what John is saying here about God's love? This is wonderful. We wouldn't know anything about the love of God, but God made it known to us. By the way, I just want to maybe pause there for a moment and say that God is in the saving business today. That God is actively making Himself known to people every single day in the day and age that we live in. We heard a testimony this morning about a woman that is sick with COVID, and she's in the hospital and probably has a family and works at the Child Advocacy Center. And you heard that, and about how that as God's people pray, that she felt the presence of God, her husband did, and they knew that God was working. And I heard that and I said, you know, God is making Himself known.
Right.
God is continually making Himself known.
Man.
If you just look around, you'll see that in a variety of ways, God is made. And He doesn't have to do that. God's doing fine. God's not sick. God's not tired. God's not got a loss that He can't fill. He's not mourning today. God is fine. So why is it that He goes about making Himself known to us as simple men and women? Why does He make Himself known? Because He loves us.
Man.
And so the way that He made Himself known, most of all, was through Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to die on a cross. You know, Jesus, He died, and it's very important for us to understand. When we talk about Jesus going to the cross, why did Jesus go to the cross? He didn't do it because the Roman army forced Him there. He didn't do it because the Jews finally caught up to Him and put Him there. Jesus said about Himself, He said, I will lay down my life willingly.
Right.
Now that's love.
Man.
Now what would cause Jesus to need to go to the cross? It's so important that we understand this. This is what makes the good news. It says that the love of God was made known by God sending His Son that we might live. And it says that later on, it says that He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, I love that word, propitiation. And some of you went, well, I don't know. That's one of those biblical words that I can't understand. And our kids, when they hear the word propitiation, it makes them smile because it's a big word. But sometimes we don't understand what that means. What is propitiation mean? We don't use that word hardly in any other way. Propitiation means that it appeases the wrath of someone that was offended. Propitiation means it appeases the wrath of someone that was offended. Now, in this situation, who was offended? Well, it was our sins that God sent the propitiation for. Our sins offend God.
Right.
Our sins offend God. And when we sin, when we do those things that are against the law of God, when we do those things that are against the Word of God, when we do those things that violate our conscience, and we know that we've not done right, we've done wrong, when we do those things, we offend a holy God. Now, I think this is where there's a deficit. Not with God, but with us.
Right.
with me sometimes, and probably with you too, is that we don't see this enough, that when we transgress the law of God, and sometimes we transgress a law of God, not one written on paper, but one that God has even written upon our conscience, and we do something that we know is wrong, we fail to see that it has offended a holy God. And because of that, we don't even feel sorrow for it unless we get caught sometimes. Because we fail to realize that there's a God that sees all things, whether man sees it or not. And when God looks down upon us and we have sinned against Him and we have transgressed Him and we have missed the mark and we've offended Him, it ought to scare us. Now you listen to me. The reason it doesn't is because we're so sinful that we're even denying the fact that we did anything unless we think somebody saw it, because we do not have the fear of God to realize that God sees it. And let's just be honest, that's why we can think about our sins and it not bother us, because we don't realize, we don't see, we don't understand that whom we have offended is not mere flesh and blood. Whom we have offended is God Himself. And if you stand on the wrong side of God, you ought to tremble. Now man doesn't tremble, because man is often self-deluded and self-deceived and arrogant. Now I told you I was going to talk about some tough things. But it is arrogance that causes people not to call upon God oftentimes. It is pride. It is, I don't need to. Things are okay with me. I've got this under control. But we learn the love of God when we realize that we've offended God and we go to Him as a sinner. That's where we learn the love of God. And anybody that's ever been saved has had an experience like that, where you came to terms with the fact that you were a sinner, and out of God's love, He lets us know. Now, I'm just going to be real clear. Until God's Spirit convicts us of our sins, we'll never have the contrition that we need. We'll never be able to get to a place that we need to be in order to experience the love of God. It takes conviction of sin, and that comes by the Holy Spirit of God alone. And there's no other place that you can get to find a place where you can get close enough to God but by the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes God uses the preaching of His Word. And sometimes God will take the preaching of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will use that to bring a man down. And it takes being brought down. You heard a sister's testimony this morning. Finally, her nephew got to the place that she was at the bottom. Well, I hope it's not your circumstances that have to bring you there, but God sometimes uses all kinds of different means to get you there. But until you get to the bottom, you'll never be saved. Because the ones that understand the love of God are the ones that understand deep in their heart that this is the way that God's love is made known, that God sent His Son that we might live through Him, that He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, to appease the wrath that our sins have created. Right. Now, how can a man understand the love of God if he doesn't understand that his sins have caused wrath before an almighty God? Right. He can't. Right. He can't understand love. And that's why it's so hard for us as men to understand that you've got to get broken. You've got to get crushed. There's got to be a time that you come into contact with God and you realize that you're not Him. And you've offended Him. And that you beg Him for mercy. Now I'm going to just ask you a question, a heart check moment here. Think back about your life. Have you ever had a time in your life like that, where you came to God crushed, begging Him for mercy, and finding Him to be loving, finding Him to be love? You know, I think John experienced that, because he said, this is the way that God's love is made known to us, that God sent His only begotten Son that we might live through Him.
In other words, John was saying, I was going to die, but he saved me. I was going to die, but God made known his love to me, that it was what Jesus did on the cross that appeased the wrath of God. My friend, the reason that Jesus died on the cross was because we have sinned. And that's the good news, is that when we had sinned, God did not destroy us. God did not cause us to just go up in flames. God did not give up on us. No, God sent his only Son for us. That's what God did. And praise God that he did today. That God sent his only begotten Son that I might live through him. Praise God. Today I praise God that he loved me so much that he would send Jesus, and on the cross Jesus shed his blood and took upon himself the burden of sin that I should have had to bear, the penalty for sin that I should have had to have endured. He endured it for me on the cross. And today, the reason that I can know that heaven is my home is because one day as a boy, God got a hold of my heart and I got low and I came to believe upon what he did for me. Right. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I gave up on everything and trusted in what Jesus did for me, and I didn't understand it. My limited mind as a kid couldn't get the theology, and God doesn't expect you to have it all figured out, but you got to give up on yourself and you got to trust in Jesus alone, and that's what saves you.
Right.
And until you get there, you don't know what it is to love.
Right.
Because you've not felt love that came from heaven. What brings us to love like God is knowing the love of God down inside of our hearts. And we all need that in our life. There's too many people today that are trying to be good and trying to reform, when the gospel doesn't say, the good news doesn't say, reform and God will accept you. That's not the good news. What is the good news? Repent. Put your trust in me, and I will accept you. Isn't that wonderful? Because anybody can repent. Not everybody can find the gumption to reform. But everybody can leave where they're at and cling to God by the help of the Spirit. Second thing. God's love, it's made known on the cross, but God's love is initiated, not reactionary. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Anytime that we come to know the love of God, we come to know it because he initiates it toward us. Now, he initiated it on the cross. A couple thousand years ago, God sent, in the perfect time, God sent his Son Jesus to die for us. But he also initiates it through the gospel. I think anyone today that knows that you're saved could say, you know, I didn't do anything to deserve God dealing with me. He drew me, not in response to my love for him. Did you hear what I said? He drew me not in response to my love for him. I want you to think back, if you have a time and a place, about when you first knew that you were lost. Did you come up with that on your own? You know, I think sometimes we think we come up with that on our own. Was this just me thinking, gosh, I feel pretty bad for my sins? Is this me going down the wrong path in my mind? Maybe that's just me. First of all, I want to say you wouldn't do that.
Right.
You wouldn't start on your own to feel sorry for the things that you've done. You wouldn't start on your own to feel your heart beating, saying, I need a Savior. You wouldn't do that. That's God.
Right.
God initiates that. And God initiates that in various means, but many times through the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes we are listening and we don't think about how we got to the place where we heard the gospel.
Well, I guess maybe I didn't even choose to do that. It was like it was done on my behalf. I got to a place where I heard it, and then I was able to listen to it, and then God's Spirit began to use it, and then I began to feel the draw. And when you first begin to feel the draw, it doesn't feel very good. In fact, it feels terrible, because we don't really want to acknowledge the fact that we're a sinner. But I want to tell you the good news is that God is doing that because He loves you. God is knocking on your heart because He wants you. He's initiating that in your life because of the love of God. John said, you know, it's not because we love God that we understand how to love, but we understand how to love because He loved us.
Right.
And He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He initiated it. And one time Jesus looked at His disciples and said, you know, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, and then goes on to tell them about what He called them to do. But the point is that every one of us that have ever really been saved, will say about this that one day God got a hold of us and He initiated that. He began to make me feel my need, and if it weren't for that, I never would have turned to Him. He began to make me see my sins for what they were. He began to make me feel guilt for my sins that I needed to feel guilt for, so that I would turn to Him and confess my sins to Him. He gave me the faith that I might be able to believe on Him. Salvation is totally and fully of the Lord.
Right, man.
And the love of God is initiated. It's like He comes for us. Jesus described it in a parable about a father who had a prodigal son. And I love that story, but one of the things I love the most about it is when the son finally came to his senses and he began to feel that he had nowhere to turn. You'll remember in that story that Jesus told, he was there beside the pigs. And he had a desire to eat the slop the pigs were eating, and he came to himself. I think God was helping him with that, but he came to himself. And he said, the servants that are in my father's house, the servants, the slaves that are in my father's house, have bread to eat and to spare. And here I am, a son, and I'm sitting by the pigs, and I've got nobody to feed me, and I've got no money left by my name. I've squandered it all, and I'm just going to go back home. And I'm going to say to my father, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me like one of the hired servants. Make me like the slave. Because at least they get to eat. I'll just serve you the rest of my day. And he was rehearsing that as he went down the lane. I love this story. This is my story. He goes down the lane and he's rehearsing it. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Make me as a slave in your house. And he was recounting that, and the father saw him going down the lane. And the father got really excited, and he hitched up his robe, and he started running down the lane toward his son. And as he started running down the lane, and he saw his son, and his son was rehearsing the words, he grabbed a hold of his son's neck. And he embraced him. And he took the dirty clothes off of him and put a new robe on him. And he put a ring upon his finger. And he said, it's time to celebrate. And you could just see the son. Father, I got something to say, Dad. I know. And he said, no. He said, you were dead and now you're alive. You were lost and now you're found. You were gone and now you're home. And Jesus said, that's how God loves. And many of us are on the path right now, and we're still squandering the wealth. But I pray, God, that you might get to the place where you come to your senses and you say, I need to come back to God, for I made a mess out of this thing. Because that's when we start to learn about the love of God, when we start to feel like we made a mess out of this thing. You got to get there. That's where it takes. And then while you're riding high and you say, I got this thing handled, you don't know the love of God. The love of God is not in you.
and you're not his.
Right.
Boy, when you get to a place where you get down low and you understand the love of God because he gave his son to be the thing that appeased the wrath of God that was on your behalf, you start to learn about the love of God. Because boy, the love of God shields us from the wrath.
Right.
Oh, he may be in the right to bestow wrath. And praise God. What Jesus did for me appeased his wrath. And that's how I know the love of God. And I don't know that love because I loved him so much. I know it because he loved me. Where do we go from here? Well, I won't take so much time on the last part of this, but this is part of the point. He said, if we know the love of God, he says, here in his love, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So not only is God's love initiated toward us, it's to be reciprocated from us in the way that we live our life. Do you know the love of God in Jesus Christ? If you do, he says, brethren, we ought to love one another.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to spend very much time on this, but I do want to say the love of God toward us was not a warm feeling in how he felt about us. No, it was so much deeper and so much more than that. It was sacrificial. It was shown forth in his son by giving. It was him wanting our welfare, even if it cost him everything. That's the love of God toward us. So how ought we to love one another? That same way.
Amen.
Sometimes, to be honest, we're too human to get the warm feeling. And sometimes, I'll just turn it the other way around. I'm not lovable enough for you to have a warm feeling about me. But what we ought to do is love the way that Christ loved us. How did he love us? He gave himself for us. To men, how do you love your wife? Say, well, I love her. Give yourself for her. Wives, how should you love your husbands? Say, well, I used to feel this for him, but it's becoming, the more I know him, the harder and harder it is to feel that for him. It's not what God called you to do. What God called you to do? To serve him. To care for his needs. He's to love you, give up himself the way that Jesus gave up himself for the church. Look around. We're a ragtag bunch. We've got different personalities. We've got different backgrounds. We've got different interests. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How do we do that? Give ourselves for them. God looks upon us and he wants our welfare no matter what it costs him. Look around. Desire the welfare for your brethren. It's going to cost me. Not sure what they'll give back to me. God's love doesn't consider those things. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I was going to read it, but I'm not this morning. But I want you to go and read it on your own. He says, if I have the tongues of men and of angels, if I have the gifts that abound, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm a tinkling cymbal. I'm an annoyance. I'm a nuisance if I don't have love. Love is the greatest gift. We learn it in Jesus Christ, but then we're supposed to give it to others. Why? Because that's how the world sees God. He says in verse 12, he says, but no man has seen God at any time. Why is that? Because God's a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. There's a whole world out there that needs Jesus. And they need God. They need to see Him. And they don't know where to find Him. And we know this is true. We've got family, friends, loved ones, acquaintances. They need Jesus. But they don't know where to find Him. And then John reveals to us where they can find Him. One time Jesus said in John chapter 13, Jesus said, "Hereby will people know that you're truly my disciples for the love that you have one to another."
Amen.
It's my desire that people would come to know the Lord. How will they know the Lord? They're going to have to see Him. They're going to have to find Him. Where will they find Him? They will find Him wherever the love of God is. And the love of God will be among His people. Among a people that know what it is to know the love of God because they felt it initiated to them. And then they've experienced it in salvation. And then they've practiced it by reciprocating it toward their families and toward their brothers. And you know what people should see whenever they come into Calvary Church? They should see God's love. How? Enacted between us. Not a love that says, man, I just really like them because of their interests. No. A love that says, hey, I know about God's love. And they know about God's love. And so when we share that by sacrificially living in such a way that we look out for the welfare of our brother and sister to the point that if someone is hungry or thirsty, we give them the things that they need. Where we see that their family needs prayers, we pray for them. When we see that they need a lift, we give them a ride. When we see that they're falling on hard times, we go by their side and help them with aid. It's not all physical. Many times it's spiritual. But we love each other. We love each other because we care more about the welfare of their life than we even do for our own. And you see, when we can get like that because God has got a hold of our heart and we then act like that toward our brethren, you know what people see when they come in among us? They see Jesus. And they say, I want to know Him. And then we've got good news to tell them. We know the love of God, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And we learned about that. And we learned that God was love and that He is love and that he that loves knows God because God is love. And that's why we have what we have here. And you can feel it. And you can feel the difference between superficial showmanship and heartfelt love. And when the love of God is manifested among His people, we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And it's my desire that in this congregation and in congregations like her, that Sunday after Sunday they come together in the love of God so they might be able to turn around out there and show that love to a lost and dying world. Because people need to be saved. And I want to close with this. There's a people out there are hurting because they're in the middle of their sins. What's our response to those people? It ought not be, get yourself cleaned up. Turn yourself around. Get things in order. Then maybe you can, you know, how could you? No. I remember when Jesus came to the woman at the well. How would we have responded to that woman? I think sometimes we say, you know, watch out for her. She's living with somebody that's not her husband. And she's got four guys that were her husband before. You better keep your eye out for her. And what did Jesus say? Could I have some water? That's what he said to her. Could I have some water? And she said, you're a Jew. You shouldn't speak to me. I'm a dog. He said that he had a water for her, that if she would drink of it, she would never thirst again.
Amen.
And just, I feel like this just kind of came out of her heart. She said, oh Lord, evermore give me of that water. You see, he knew, because he told her he knew that she was in the midst of her sins. But he cared more about her than to just leave her to her own devices. He wanted to save her. And you see, we've got people in our life that need to be saved. And I think sometimes we can be like the Pharisee and say, how could you? How dare you? If you don't get yourself cleaned up, you'll never get things turned around. But instead, maybe what we need to do is love them. And say, hey, I've been there. And I went to God as a sinner. And He forgave me. And He'll forgive you too. You see that kind of love? God's in it. And God will use it to save the world. And that's what He's about. Because God is love. He's love. I could talk all day about the love of God. But I'm finished now. I'm thankful for God's love. I'm here today talking to you because of God's love. I feel so blessed to know that God is love. And if you've never been saved, if you've never come to know Him, you need to seek Him. Because what you'll find is what I found, is that He is love, that He sent His Son for you, and that His arms are out for you. Not to condemn you, but to take you in if you'll but repent of your sins and put your trust in Him alone as your Savior. God bless. Why don't we stand together and have a song? I feel like I've shared the message that God has placed upon my heart today, and I depend upon Him to use it to work on the hearts of people. I can't do that part. That's between you and God. I just encourage you, if God has spoken to you, to seek Him and follow Him from your heart. And many times we don't know the right way to go, but if you'll turn to Him in prayer, He'll be your perfect leader. He'll lead you right. As we all stand together and sing.
359 in the Red Book. 359.